Trust the Lord will be with me and deliver me this morning. You all are a little blurry to me this morning, so it's a problem that I've got to deal with, and I've had glaucoma for 25 years, but this has nothing to do with the glaucoma issue. It's something else that's wrong with my eye as a result of something that was done 30 years ago, but it's got to be dealt with now. So I haven't decided what to do because I've got a lot of questions in my mind that I need answered before I say yes. So y'all be praying for me in that respect. I've turned to a portion of scripture found in the book of 1 Kings. And, it's in chapter 8 of 1 Kings. What I'd like to speak to you about this morning is sort of a follow-up to what I spoke to you about. You know, it's been a month since I saw y'all. I missed you. It was 1 month ago today that I spoke to you from the charge that was given to the preacher Timothy to preach the word. You may remember it, you may not. But anyhow, preach the word. Well, what is the word? The word is right before me. It's God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Well, if you're going to preach the word, you got to have a word. And you got to have the true word to preach. You can't preach a false doctrine or a false word, because if you do, you won't experience the blessings of God in your preaching efforts. You've got to deliver to the children of God the word and what it teaches. And you've got to be convinced that it's God's word. It's not somebody else's. It comes from God directly. And that's what this book comes, that's how this book comes. You say, well, Brother Heron, the original was in Greek and Hebrew, but it was translated into English by men who were dedicated and the best available men in that day to translate the language of one writing into the language of another writing, which was English. And they did a good job. It was done under stressful conditions for their translating it. They could not add one word to make it clearer. If they did, they had to identify it. And that's what the words in this King James Bible in italics are. It's words the translators added to make the English version or the English phrase of that particular subject more clear. But you could read it and leave the italics out. That'd be God's original translated word from Hebrew and Greek. That's what I preach. I preach the word. I preach the King James Version of the Bible. And I preach what it teaches us. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is the word itself testifies of itself that it is God's word. It says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, not the alien sinner, but the man of God, might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is God's word, and I preach, and that's what I preach. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is God's word is sure. And you can believe and count on every single word of it. And it tells me that. That's how I know it. God tells me that. Isn't there something? God gives me a word and then he tells me that it is sure. Believe it. Well, we want to begin here in 1 Kings on a scripture that I used not too long ago when I preached to you on the promises of God. But it fits in real well right here, so I'll use it again, if that's okay. Found in 1 Kings, and it's where King Solomon had been on his knees praying, and he had praying before the Lord and before the congregation of Israel. And he said in verse 54 of the 8th chapter of 1 Kings, "And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all his prayer and supplications unto the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and he blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice saying," and the 56th verse is the one I wanted to get, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." Now what that tells me is God's word cannot fail. Did you hear me? God's word cannot fail. If you find a promise in the word of God, from God himself, you believe it, because I can tell you, if God promised it, it will come to pass if it hasn't already. That's how sure I am that this is God's word. God promised something, and no promise that he's ever made has ever failed. That's point one, and God's word is sure. Now we want to turn a little further over into here, and we'll find some other scriptures that tell us some things about God's word. We'll find in the book of Psalms, it tells me that the testimonies of the Lord are sure. His testimonies are sure. You can believe his word, in other words. Says in Psalms 93, it says in verse 5, "The testimonies, thy testimonies are very sure." What does that mean, they're sure? That means they're true. It means you can believe them because God has said it. It is sure. His testimonies are sure. "Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." Yes, the Lord's word is sure. Let's just read a little bit of this psalm here, beginning at the very first of it. "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting." What does that mean, he is from everlasting? That means he's eternal. He's always been and he always will be. He is the eternal God. He is from everlasting. "The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. And then he concludes this little short psalm with, thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. The testimonies of the Lord are sure. No doubt about it. His word declares it, and I believe it. You know, I used to be a little saying that went around. I used to use it back before I became a Primitive Baptist. It says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, you know, I learned to leave part of that out of there, because if God said it, that settles it whether I believe it or not. Because God's word is sure. His testimonies are sure. We'll find another little scripture found over here in the book of Psalms, 111, and it says in verse 7 there, the works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. All the commandments of God, all the commandments we receive from his word, they are sure. And whatever commandment there is in the scripture, for you little child of God, you should follow it. Why? Because the commandments of the Lord are sure. And it would be to your benefit here in time to follow the commandments of the Lord.
That's right.
It's not going to gain you a home in heaven, but it will make your life a lot better while you live here in time. And that's what preaching is all about, teaching the children of God how to improve their lives that they live here in this world. I can't preach you anything that's going to get you to heaven if God doesn't do it through the blood of Jesus. That's the only way to go. There used to be a saying that went around, one way to heaven, one way. Well, it is just one way. It's by the grace of God, and it comes by Jesus Christ. But you are better, and you would be benefited by keeping the commandments of God. Why? Because the commandments of God are sure. And this book tells me they are. I have all the confidence that the commandments of God are sure, and I will not go wrong by keeping any commandment that God has in his word while I live here in this world, and I'll benefit as a result of it. I have no doubt in my mind. That's how sure I am that the word of God is sure and that his commandments are sure. Continue on over here a little further. It says in the book of Ezekiel, beginning here at verse 21, and this particular scripture talks about something that, I talked about sayings that people make up, that people say. Well, there was one going around in Israel about the Lord. And so the Lord straightened the situation out, and that's what this is all about saying here. It says, beginning in verse 21 of Ezekiel chapter 12, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? You see, that's the way man is. He's always looking for failure. Every vision faileth. And then it says, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision, for there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. Then in verse 25, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. God's word is sure. And the words he speaks will come to pass, Brother Will. His word tells me. There's Ezekiel, the prophet, telling me the word of the Lord. Whatever he speaks, whatever he says, it will come to pass. I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, yes, indeed, whatever the Lord says, whatever the Lord speaks, it will come to pass. Don't speak about the failures or the visions of that you get from the Lord. In his word, you believe them. Because whatever he says, whatever he speaks, it will come to pass. Why? Because God's word is sure. You can believe it. You can count on it. You can depend upon it. Jesus, speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, was speaking about the fulfillment of the law. Some people say, well, if you old Baptists believe salvation's but grace, and you're going to heaven and it's not based on anything you do, you can just do like you want. Well, it's simply not true. It simply is not true. That's not true. It won't affect you going to heaven, but it'll affect you a lot while you live here in this life. And the Ten Commandments. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the Ten Commandments in the political arenas. You know, they even up on the very top of the Supreme Court, there's Moses standing there on a carving on the top of the Supreme Court building holding the Ten Commandments. Every law that we have should and is based upon what those Ten Commandments proclaim. The foundation of every law that we have that we're under should be premised upon the foundation of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill it. Why did he come to fulfill it? Because I couldn't do it and you couldn't do it. But it had to be done. That's why. I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. But it had to be done. Well, if I couldn't do it and you couldn't do it and it can't be done, how is it done? It's done by Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the law to a jot and a tittle. He was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. On the cross, no guile was found in his mouth. Everything he did was to perfection. He fulfilled the law. And Jesus talks about it here on the Sermon on the Mount, here in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. We'll begin there at verse 17. Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. In other words, just because Jesus paid the price for you and me doesn't free me, you and me, from the keeping of God's law. It does not. Will it affect whether you go to heaven? No, but it'll have a lot of effect on your life that you live here in this world. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." In other words, if you keep the law of God and you teach others to keep the law of God, you'll be considered great in the kingdom of God. But if you go against the law of God and teach others to go against the law of God, you'll be the least in the kingdom of heaven. "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." Well, why did he say scribes and Pharisees? Why? Because they were the legalists. They were the men that thought to themselves, "Everything I do is perfect. Lord, I pray that I'm not like others. I pray," in other words, like the guy that was in the temple with the guy that was in the back and said, "Lord, have mercy." He was in the back. He said, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." And this other guy praying out, "Lord, I pray that I'm not like that man there." Well, you see, he thought too much of himself, but he was a legalist. And everybody thought, well, if you could live up the way the Pharisees are, you could gain a home in heaven. Well, they didn't realize their failures. There should have been things in their life to taught them. They fall short of it. But yet, your righteousness has to exceed the effort of the Pharisees to keep the law in every respect. Well, how can that happen? I could never live like a Pharisee, a legalistic person like he is. Jesus did it for me. Jesus fulfilled it for me. That's how my righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. Well, how do I get that Jesus did? Well, whenever he quickens you and gives you life, he imputes unto you the righteousness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you face God in the general judgment, you'll face him not on your own righteousness. Even though you may have been like the Pharisees and were to others perfect in your life, yet you failed. You may not realize it, but you fell short. You did not measure up. But the righteousness of Christ that's imputed within you is how you'll face Jesus, how you'll face God in the judgment. The righteousness of Jesus. We'll find in the book of Luke, it says this about God's word. It says his words would not pass away. It says in the beginning at verse 29 here, the 21st chapter of Luke. "And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand." In other words, when you see the trees in the wintertime, the sap goes down in them, and it looks and seems as though they die, but yet in the springtime, the sap starts coming back up in the tree, and the buds come out on the tree, and you know it has life. Well, that's what he's comparing this to here. Then we know that that summer is at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Now what do you mean, this generation? You think anybody in that generation is still living today? No, but there were some of that generation when that was spoken that were alive when Jesus finished the work and paid the price of redemption for every one of us. That's when it happened, when Jesus did it. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now I want you to notice that. That doesn't say word. That says words. That means not only the word of God, which is this book open before me right here, but that means every single word that's contained within it. That's why that says words, plural. Every word in the word is what it means. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged in surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day cometh upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that shall dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things and shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. One other scripture. And the Word itself testifying to us that God's Word is true. God's Word is sure. And we'll find it in the book of Romans, and it tells us that all the elect God of God shall receive the eternal promise of salvation from the Lord. Beginning at verse 13, it says, of Romans chapter 4, says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. In other words, wasn't by the keeping of the law, but it's by the faith that Jesus Christ himself kept it for you. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, but where no law is, there is no transgression. Then in verse 16 he said, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure. There it is, the promise of God, of eternal life to God's children that he chose and elected in a covenant of grace that made Abraham the father of many nations is sure. That's what he's saying. That the promise might be sure to all the seed. Who is all the seed? All the elect. All that God chose and elected in a covenant of grace before the world was. To all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but also to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Yes, indeed, God's word is sure. I know it's sure because it testifies of itself that it's sure. We saw this morning a scripture that told us that all the promises of God never fail. Whatever promise he's made, it's always been fulfilled. And those that he's promised that hadn't been fulfilled, they're sure to be fulfilled. We saw that his testimonies are sure. We saw that his commandments are sure. There's a scripture that says, he speaks and it stands. He commands and it stands fast. We saw where his word, whatever his word is, it shall come to pass. We saw that he will and did fulfill the law in behalf of God's children when he went to the cross. We saw that his words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words would not pass away. We saw the promise is sure that all God's elect will be saved in the final end when Jesus comes back to take his bride and marry them and take them all to heaven. This scripture is God's word. It's what I preach. It's what I believe. But my belief of it is not what makes it true. It's true because it's from God. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer. May I pray for Elder Will Martin as he comes to preach to you.